This is a special edition of Jacksonville's Evening News on News 104.5 WOKV.
I am WOKV Stephanie Brown, and we're bringing you a special half hour of coverage tonight because today were some big developments in the federal fraud trial of now former Congresswoman Corrine Brown. We covered this for weeks earlier this year when Brown was convicted on 18 of 22 federal counts connected to her role in allegedly soliciting hundreds of thousands of dollars to a sham charity and using that money for personal expenses and lavish events instead. Well, new today, a federal judge decided that she should not get a new trial and not be acquitted outright. Two very significant developments that also speak volumes to what we could expect to see coming up next. I'm joined on the line by WOKV legal analyst Mark Rubin to kind of give some of that expert insight, what happens in the courtroom, what all of this legal motions mean, and ultimately, again, where we go from here. So, Mark, let's go ahead and take it right from one of the motions that was denied by the federal judge today, the one most people have heard us talking about today. That's the motion for a new trial, and it's centered on the replacement of a juror during the deliberation process, which I imagine is not something that you see very often.
Well, it doesn't happen often, but in high-profile cases, there is a tendency for extraordinary things to happen, both during jury deliberations and after when jurors talk to the media, which they're not required to do, but sometimes they do. These things then bubble up, and they become big issues. In this case, it happened during the trial. The juror made some statements about, which basically gave the inference that the juror was getting a message from God that Corrine Brown was not guilty. And of course, that's an outside influence, whether you're talking about God or any other entity or person, that's not allowed. So that juror was rejected, and the judge did the right thing by following the law. That is the law. And so now we're in a situation where Corrine Brown is requesting a new trial based on that the fact that she said the judge should not have rejected that juror. But if you put the shoe on the other foot and the judge and the juror had said, hey, I'm being told by an outside source or by God that she's guilty, you would believe that her lawyer would be, Corrine Brown's lawyer would be the first one standing up saying, hey, we got to get rid of this juror. So the judge did the right thing. But more importantly, what we have now is, while you and I covered this trial, we always talked about how Corrine Brown should get the benefit of the doubt and you're innocent until proven guilty. The pendulum has now swung. With the jury verdict coming back, it's very different. We, on this call, when we're talking about her and her conviction, no longer are required to give her the benefit of the doubt and talk about both sides in a fair and balanced and even way. The jury has spoken. The pendulum has swung. And unfortunately for Corrine Brown, she's guilty. And so we can talk about her as a guilty person from here out.
And that's actually something that we saw reflected in that second motion that was denied today by the judge. They had put forward a motion for acquittal, which basically means the judge would have, cleared her of the charges. And they said basically the same thing that the defense had said throughout the trial, which was that they believed Brown did not know that she was raising money for a sham charity. She didn't know the money was going to be used for the wrong purposes. She thought that it was going to be going toward this charity. And they said that the prosecution had not shown enough evidence to prove that that's not the case. So again, that's both what they presented as their defense, but also what they presented once again in their motion for acquittal. And reading through the ruling from the judge today in denying that motion, he made it very clear that, the prosecution had presented enough so that it's reasonable to believe the jury could have inferred her guilt based off of that.
There was overwhelming evidence, which we can say now since the trial is over, and Corrine took the witness stand on her own behalf, and she did not do enough to refute that evidence, to explain that evidence away, to give the jury enough information to give them a reasonable doubt as to whether she was telling the truth or whether the government witnesses and the story that the government was bringing to the court was enough. And so, again, the court made the right decision. The facts came out. The jury ruled. There's really no reason to change that ruling now. And so, and I'm sure we're going to be talking about this in a minute, were onto the appeals court.
And we will talk about that coming up in a few minutes, kind of where we go from here. But first, if we are talking, you know, once again, as you mentioned, we don't necessarily have to present what her defense said, but they're the one behind these motions for a new trial, for acquittal. So I did reach out to Brown's attorney today, James Smith, and asked him if he had a reaction to everything that had happened. And he said that, you know, Brown was disappointed, that she still maintains her innocence, and that she thanked supporters, but said that she was going to continue to fight and didn't want them to give up. So again, we'll get into sentencing coming up in a few minutes. But if you're a judge and you're hearing these kind of statements leading up to the sentencing process, what are you thinking? Does that influence maybe the sentence that's ultimately imposed?
Well, it's problematic because Corrine Brown is going to be standing in front of the lectern trying to, and her lawyer trying to convince the judge, number one, that she shouldn't go to jail. I'm sure she's going to be coming in to court saying that I should not be sentenced to jail, that I should be not sentenced at all, and she's saying that she's not guilty. But at the same time, the court is looking for remorse, for some acknowledgement that the facts came out the way they did, and she's been adjudicated guilty. And so those two concepts are counterintuitive. They work against each other. You can't say I didn't do it and I maintain my innocence, and at the same time show remorse to the court so you can get a lighter or smaller sentence. So she's going to have to figure out which way to go, and it's a real delicate balance. This is not the first time this will come up. I mean, this comes up all the time, and essentially, if she continues to remain in denial about her conviction, she could end up with a longer prison sentence.
And one of the other things we've seen, even beyond issuing statements like that she'll continue to fight or maintains her innocence, is we've seen around the community trying to fundraise for her legal fund, trying to, you know, continue to build up support behind her case. And even to this day, while I'm talking with people about this case, you have some that, you know, believe she can't go to jail soon enough. And you have others who still steadfastly stand behind her despite everything that has aired out in the courtroom, and despite the fact that we do have these convictions, 18 convictions on her plate. I mean, is it surprising to see that the support still lingers and that she's still out there actually getting money from the community to continue this fight?
Well, she's a lightning rod for controversy. She always has been, and apparently she's going to go down to her last breath in that way. She is out there in the community talking about how this was a racially motivated prosecution. There are many people that don't see it that way. And then there are that just see it as this is what happened. And then there are people further on the spectrum that, you know, have racial feelings about her and all of her conduct that was incendiary during the time that she was a congressperson is now coming back to haunt her. So you've got people all over the spectrum. They're all, you know, watching this, and some are saying, hey, I hope she goes to jail and she can't go fast enough. And others are saying and still maintaining, much the same way as you saw with O.J. Simpson at the beginning of his not guilty verdict, where a lot of people in the African American community were just absolutely in belief that he was not guilty. By the way, that statistic has changed over time, and although there still are a majority of Black Americans that feel that O.J. Simpson was wrongfully prosecuted for the murder, it's now almost 50-50 in the African American community. So time does have a way of creating sensibilities with the people.
Well, I guess if we're drawing on that comparison, just as we saw OJ recently get parole, time served is going to be a big question that I'm going to talk about in the next segment. I'm WOKV Stephanie Brown, joined by WOKV legal analyst Mark Rubin. We're resetting for you all of the major things that have taken place today in the convictions of former Congresswoman Corrine Brown. Coming up soon, we're going to be talking about the sentencing and what happens next. Stay with us.
This is a special edition of Jacksonville's Evening News on News 104.5 WOKV.
I am WOKV's Stephanie Brown, and we are bringing you special programming this evening just for another 5-10 minutes here, because there has been a lot of developments regarding former Congresswoman Corrine Brown, a judge denying today her motion for a new trial and her motion for acquittal. I'm joined on the line by WOKV legal analyst Mark Rubin. And Mark, really, when I called you this afternoon to talk about some of these developments, the first thing you said is, what are the people going to want to know when she serves her time? And, you know, right now we do see that she is still out of prison. Her sentencing date has now been set for November. Is she going to stay out until we see that sentencing hearing take place?
Well, she's going to stay out until the sentencing hearing, but the big question is going to be what happens after the sentencing hearing. At that time, she'll be adjudicated guilty. She'll be sentenced to time. And, of course, the first big question is going to be how much time. Is she going to get a couple of years, or is she going to get longer? Of course, she'll be arguing that she shouldn't get any time. And, of course, we've already talked about that a little bit. But what we see in public figures and public corruption trials around the country are very much a rolling process. You can find some public officials that get a slap on the wrist, and you can find some that have served double digits. Now, age is a factor, and, of course, she's 70, so a double-digit incarceration could be a life sentence. But what is also possible is that she could get bond while she's out, while she's on appeal. And an appeal could take a year or more. So she's certainly going to be asking the judge, if the judge gives her jail time, which is likely, she's going to be asking the judge through her lawyer for an appeal bond so that she can stay out of jail while she's waiting for the appeal. That's dubious, because when you're going around town telling people that a prosecution is racially motivated, and then you come to the court and ask for consideration, that's a double-edged sword, and it usually doesn't go well. It'll be really interesting to see how the judge takes that.
And let's talk further about appeal, because when I spoke to Brown's attorney today, James Smith, he said that they will continue to exhaust any and all legal options, that their focus right now is on the sentencing and getting her the most favorable sentence that they can. After that, they'll consider maybe a motion for reconsideration. I guess talk to us about the appeal options on the table and a little bit further. You said it could take up to a year to sort that kind of thing out.
Well, first of all, that's lawyer talk. When a lawyer says we're going to file a motion for reconsideration after they just lost a motion for rehearing, that's lawyer talk. There is no real viable next step. It's the conviction, it's the sentencing, and then what's left is an appeal. And so the appeal issues we've got a sneak preview of on the motion for rehearing, asking for the judge to reverse his decision to remove the juror from the panel, and asking the judge to rule that the government didn't prove its case. Those are the main issues that you're going to see in an appeal. Typically in an appeal, you bring those issues up in your motion for a new trial, and if you lose them, then those are going to be the same issues. So what the appeals court, which is the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals that'll be hearing the appeal of Judge Corrigan's trial, they're based in Atlanta. They're going to be re-looking at all of the testimony in the court and evaluating that testimony. And the burden of proof, unlike in a trial where the burden of proof is on the government, the burden of proof shifts. We talked about the pendulum in the earlier segment. The pendulum has now shifted, and the burden of proof will be on Corrine Brown to prove her innocence, to prove that the government made a mistake or that the judge made a mistake. And I will tell you that the conviction – the overturning of convictions is a very, very rare indeed circumstance. I would say criminal convictions reversed in the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals is probably less than 5%.
Well, certainly a lot of questions that still remain. The one thing that's certain is we will continue to follow every development for you. I'm WOKV Stephanie Brown. I've been joined here with WOKV legal analyst Mark Rubin to recap what was, again, a big day in the pending sentencing of former Congresswoman Corrine Brown. She was convicted on 18 federal fraud counts, and now a judge today saying no new trial, no acquittal, sentencing set for November. We're going to go ahead and head over to Facebook Live. We'll I'll bring you some more recap and take your questions directly as well. Find us on the WOKV News Facebook page. And now let's get you some news. I'm WOKV's Stephanie Brown, and we'll continue to follow this story.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.